Blog Talk Radio.
And hello there. This is another episode of the Ben Solomon Show. And today I'm going to be talking about Iran. I got this news yesterday. Iran threatens to destroy Israel in 8 minutes. Iran brags that it can destroy Israel in 8 minutes. And so in this episode, I'm going to be making the case as to why Iran is indeed a global threat. I mean, there's no doubt that Iran wants to continue where Hitler left off, vis-a-vis the Jewish people. The government of Iran is a Nazi government. It's essentially the Muslim version. The Iranian government is the Muslim version of Nazism, and so is radical Islam generally. But the problem is we see how people have their head in the sand. We see how Barack Obama, one of the worst presidents America had, has reached a horrible deal with Iran. I mean, our president is a complete apologist for the Muslim world and for anything that has to do with Islam, particularly Islamism. I mean, we see, for instance, how Obama kisses up to Erdogan's Turkey. And, you know, I remember reading an article on UnitedWithIsrael.com about how Turkey sometimes has been letting these ISIS guys in, not stamping their passports, letting these ISIS guys stop to Turkey on the way to going to Syria, you know, where they fight the jihad, particularly the ISIS recruits. You know how ISIS recruits a lot of people, like many people in Europe are joining ISIS because they're tired of this liberalism, you know, that doesn't stand for anything, and they see ISIS, though ISIS stands for evil, they see ISIS as at least standing for something. And I think that's one of the problems that Israel and America faces. You see, we're getting dragged down by this crazy left-wing liberalism and stuff like that. We have, like, particularly in the West, we have political correctness is killing us. We have a bunch of vulnerable wusses who need trigger warnings for everything, who can't even listen to alternative viewpoints, particularly in some of these college campuses. We see how people on the right get shut down and stuff like that, and they have to, like, use the back door and stuff like that. I mean, they cannot publicly use the front door because of student protests and because of all these people who are triggered by every little thing. I understand how words carry a lot of power because we give them that power. I understand how words can have an effect on what we say and stuff like that. You know, I heard stuff that gets on my nerves, and I heard stuff that I wasn't pleased hearing. But you know what? I learned to move on. You know, you got to learn to just grow up and move on. I mean, but the problem is, you see, many of these people can't do that, and so they're being coddled and stuff like that. And that's, I think, part of the problem. All the while, you see, as a result of this, you know, weak, gutless president we have, Barack Obama, we see how ISIS feels emboldened to go around, take over Iraq and Syria, and to take over as much of the Middle East as they can. They're proclaiming any territory they control as part of this new caliphate they create. They're slaughtering people left and right. We see ISIS, the Islamic State of Iraq and Syria are doing. And America is the strongest country in the world. One of the strongest countries in the world. Like America, we're a superpower. And, you know, Obama's strategy against ISIS is just contain them. Contain, contain, contain. We cannot even, you know, fight ISIS and stuff like that. It's a sad reality. And it's a sad reality. I mean, right now, the most important issue for us is right now. I mean, I think, like, we are becoming so. I mean, this is really where. I mean, I'm a young guy. I'm in my 20s. And what this is basically, we're witnessing is almost, it's pretty much the decline of the West and the decline of America. Because even with, you know, Canada and Western Europe becoming more socialist, more politically correct, and we see how political correctness has gone too far there. Like, for instance, when many of the Muslim immigrants engage in violent crime and engage in rape, and we see how there's such a, and we see that political correctness forces people to excuse the radical Muslims and to excuse the Muslim immigrants who do engage in that type of stuff. And people get told if you don't go along with excusing that, you're a bigot. And so you see that the police, like in Rotherham, Britain, 1,400 11 to 14-year-old girls were raped by Pakistani Muslim male gangs. And the police, you know, tried to cover it up because they did not want to be called bigots. We see this happening all over Europe and stuff like that. And and so we see how political correctness has gone too far in Europe. I mean, right now people are pretty angry there, and now we see that, and some of that anger, you know, is and we see that the and some of that anger, you know, is, you know, boosting up some of the genuine xenophobic groups there, like the British National Party. I mean, that anger is totally legit. And so, of course, I mean, people who feel that legit anger are not bigots or racists, contrary to what the left says. But, I mean, but the thing I hope for is that, like, you know, that they have, like conservative parties rising up, those that are patriotic but also respect individual liberty and freedom of thought, freedom of speech, and freedom of religion. I mean, that's what I hope. But I mean, well, as I was saying with this extensive political correctness, but the point I was saying, you know, is, I mean, also Canada, you know, where they have like that coward Justin Trudeau, you know, like, and the sad reality also with the left is, you know, I mean, like, you know, it seems to me that like with women's rights and stuff like that, the people who don't call themselves feminists many times appear to be more pro-women, genuinely more pro-women than those who do call themselves feminists. I mean, I know that may be a shocker to some people. You see those on the left, you know, like, you see the left particularly, you know, lamenting, oh, why don't most American women consider themselves feminists? Here's why they don't consider themselves feminists, because they're tired of, like, how insane radical third-wave feminism has become. I mean, the radical third-wave feminism and this, and, like, intersectional feminism and all those, and all this ridiculous left crap does not represent what most women want. I mean, that's the thing. It doesn't. To say the very least. And also another thing also is in America, more women than men are actually pro-life / anti-abortion, but that's a whole other area of discussion. And I'm going off a bit on a tangent, but as I was saying, many people I think who appear to be more, I think that the self-described non-feminists many times are more genuinely pro-women than the self-described feminists. Like we see Justin Trudeau, you know, the Prime Minister of Canada, who calls himself a feminist, and people expect, and like the left expects women everywhere to go and applaud him for it because, oh, he called himself a feminist. That's the greatest thing in the world, you know, greater than solving world hunger, greater than trying to get world peace, genuine world peace, not suicide in the name of world peace, or not suicide in the name of peace, you know, not really fighting for any of the real issues. Oh, Justin Trudeau called himself a feminist, therefore he deserves a medal. You know, that's basically what it is. But, you know, Justin Trudeau, the so-called feminist there, and you know in Canada, you know how they persecute guys like, what's his name, like Gregory Allen, you know, Gregory Allen Elliott, I think is his name. I think it's Gregory Allen Elliott's his name. You know, he was put in jail in Canada. He was arrested in Canada because he dared to disagree with radical feminists over there. And although, meanwhile, in Canada, of course, you know, they're willing to, like Justin Trudeau and the leftists over there are willing to allow in all the Muslim refugees without checking them, and they'll look the other way while honor killings happen and stuff like that, and, you know, because, oh, it's just their way of life. And if you say anything about it, you're a bigot. If you say honor killings is wrong, you're a bigot. You know, the self-described feminist Justin Trudeau, you know, he said that honor killing is barbaric. He said he would not call honor killings barbaric. So honor killings where even rape victims, even women who were raped, get murdered on the grounds that they're supposedly no longer virgins, even if they were raped. You know, the feminist prime minister of Canada, Justin Trudeau, says that's not barbaric. So I just wanted to throw, I know I'm going off on a tangent, but I just wanted to say, you know, let's be honest here. In this day and age, we can say that many times self-described non-feminists are more pro-women than self-described feminists. Okay, now that I got that out there, let's also talk about the issue of Iran. I'm gonna tie this in with the, I have it mistakenly, Judaism. I'm going to fix that and go to the show. I'm going to fix that quickly and go to politics conservative. So, okay, let's, now let's go talk about, I'm going to tie political correctness with some Iran as well, because you see how it's the same thing, how Israel is also like, you know, the so-called pro-women, you know, and these leftists who want to shove gay marriage down the throats of religious people and down the throats of the country. These leftists these leftist fascists who are going around, you know, forcing clergy people to carry out same-sex weddings. We see that pastors who refuse to carry out same-sex weddings because, you know, it goes against their religion, are threatened with arrest or with a lawsuit. And also we see how, like, the left wants the government to force bakers who have religious objections to gay marriage to bake, to cater gay weddings. Florists who have religious objections to gay marriage to cater gay weddings. And clergy who have religious objections to gay marriage to carry out gay weddings. You know, bye-bye First Amendment. That's basically what it is. I mean, they distort the 14th Amendment and the Equal Protection Clause in order to say that somehow this entitles, like, gay people, this entitles us to legal, that somehow this entitles gay people to marry people from the same sex. I mean, leaving aside, I mean, my view is I think the government should stay out of marriage totally. Because I know that one issue with the gay marriage thing is, you know, the whole thing about marriage benefits and hospital visitation, all of this stuff, you know, and like some of the legal status of marriage. So, you know, so as I say, the government should stay out of marriage and maybe like have the legal benefits and have like couples apply for whatever legal benefits they want. I mean, that's my thing. I mean, in my viewpoint, I see marriage as between a man and a woman. I believe that marriage is between a man and a woman. But I think as of now, I mean, I'm totally opposed to the Supreme Court decision legalizing gay marriage. However, I do think that the government should completely stay out of marriage. Just stay out of marriage. And if there's some of the more liberal religious institutions, like let's say the Reform Movement, which is not religious in my book, but you know they go around supposedly as a religious movement, although it's really religious, more so religious leftism than religious Judaism, or like the the conservative movement in the Jewish religion, or like even the more liberal Christian movements, or like for example, they say, you know, we accept gay marriage, they want to marry a gay couple, that's their business, and they call it marriage. You know, my whole thing is that's their business. I would not call it marriage, but that's their business. I mean, that's what my view on it. I mean, but I think government should completely stay out of marriage, totally. But, you know, but I know I'm going off on a tangent now, trying to find the politics here. I'm going off on a tangent here, but the point I want to make is, you know, how the left, which is carrying out some persecution of religious people and wanting to force bakers to bake cakes for same-sex weddings and stuff like that, you know, and all these progressive fascists who are doing that, you know. I mean, the funny thing is, these leftists who claim to be, you know, for gay rights, for LGBT rights, for women's rights, and stuff like that. And they claim to be, oh, such great feminists. You don't call yourself a feminist, and now they'll then lament and stuff like that or call you a sexist. Oh, why don't you call yourself a feminist? Have you seen dictionary definition of feminism, meaning of equality? Well, the dictionary definition is different than what feminism has become. You know, like with this, all this ridiculous complaining about man spreading and stuff like that, but I'm not going to go off on that tangent either. What do these leftists say? And all the while, you know, these leftists condemn Israel, the only country in the region where homosexuals actually do have equal rights, the only country in the region where they actually do have gay pride parades, in contrast to the Muslim countries where homosexuals get murdered for being homosexuals. In contrast to, you know, countries like Iran, where our commie president pretty much, because Obama's pretty much close to being a commie, where our far leftist president, you know, is giving billions of dollars. He's giving billions of dollars to Iran, to the Iranian regime, which publicly hangs homosexuals on cranes. And yet you see he wants to persecute religious people over here who merely have religious objections to gay marriage, who merely say, leave us the heck alone, practice our religion. And yet you see Obama and the progressive fascist left are going around trying to force religious people to cater gay weddings. And yet you see the left, you know, supports this horrible deal with Iran, where sanctions against the Iranian regime are getting lifted. You know what I mean? And where you see that Obama is pushing for easing the sanctions on Iran, all the while in Iran they continue, the government still continues to sponsor demonstrations saying death to Israel, death to America. And recently Iran bragged that it can destroy Israel in 8 minutes. I'm going to bring up the article in a minute. But I want to just, you know, get this point through. You know, like it's so funny how like these leftists who like to call themselves such great feminists, I think you just call yourself a feminist and now all of a sudden the women everywhere are supposed to applaud for you. And that, you know, stuff like that. I mean, and if women don't applaud for you, then, oh, you know, then don't you understand that feminists give them the right to vote? Yeah, just people, you know, I mean, this is my response. I mean, yeah, people have the same label as you, that's it, but they're nothing like you. First wave feminism is nothing like third wave feminism, nothing like intersectionality. I mean, the people who fought for equality for women in the 20th century, who fought for the right to vote, are nothing like these morons who complain about man spreading. I mean, so let's not conflate the issues. But to get back onto the but to get to the point here, of course, we're not going on a tangent. The point is, you know, leftists, as I said, condemn Israel, the only country in the region where men and women have equal rights, and the only country in the region where homosexuals also have equal rights. The only country in the region that actually has gay pride parades, in contrast to the Muslim countries where, as I said, homosexuals get murdered for being homosexuals. You know, it's also, this hypocrisy is also funny because you see that the left, in addition to having an alliance with radical Islam, in addition to, you know, excusing radical Muslims from everything, to the point where if you condemn radical Islam, if you say radical Islam is barbaric, if you condemn radical Islam, you're called bigger racist Islamophobe. Meanwhile, Islamist fascism, they got everything the left thinks about horror. Everything the left tries to associate, I'm not a Christian, I'm a Jew, I'm a religious Jew. But everything the left associates Christian conservatives with, we see Islamist fascists literally are that. And yet you see the left is whitewashing Islamist fascists and blaming everything but the radical Muslims. Like if they attack Jews, it's Israel's fault. It's the occupation. It's the so-called occupation. They attack, you know, America, it's America's fault. They attack people who express their free speech rights. It's the people who express their free speech rights fault. Like, for example, if you draw Muhammad and these radical Muslims come and kill you for drawing Muhammad, it's your fault for drawing Muhammad. I mean, that's basically how the left sees it. Oh, you had it coming for offending their poor sensibilities. Let's be honest here, you know. they don't care about, you know, offending Christians. I mean, like, they portray Jesus in a way Christians find offensive, or like, you know, stuff like that, or promote, like, let's say, a Christian cross with piss on it and stuff like that. And these leftists, of course, would be the first ones to defend the free speech rights of those who of course, you know, portray Jesus in a way Christians find offensive, or who promote the cross with piss on it and stuff like that. When it comes to offending Christians, you know, I mean, leftists are among the first ones to defend the free speech rights of those who offend Christians. When it comes to offending Muslims, if radical Muslims come to kill you, oh, you had it coming, you had it coming. And let's be honest here. I mean, if you portray, like, Jews in the way Christians find offensive and stuff like that, I mean, you know, they're not going to be, you know, happy about it, obviously. But they're just going to roll their eyes and move on with their day. They're not going to go around carrying out massive killings like we see radical Islam doing. I mean, let's be real. I mean, these leftists think it's worse to be against Proposition 8. If you're a Christian, you're against Proposition 8. According to these leftists, you're more of a homophobe than radical Muslims who literally kill homosexuals. I mean, this is exactly what the left thinks. Because in addition, you see, like, Iran, which publicly hangs homosexuals, gets billions of dollars, and these leftists will say, well, it's not being money. It's not worth it from their money. I mean, there's a reason why we withheld that money from Iran, because Iran is a terrorist country developing nuclear weapons. There's a reason why we withheld that money. So what if it's their money? The fact that we even allow Iran to have access to that money is the same as giving Iran that money. Because the Iranian government represents evil. And also, you see, like, and as for the whole homosexual issue stuff, and you know, I mean, many homosexuals in the quote-unquote Palestinian territories actually flee to Israel for their safety. They flee to Israel for their safety. And you see, the left wants to create a misogynist, homophobic, terrorist country within Israel's borders. The left is in the forefront in supporting the creation of another Arab Muslim terrorist state that would murder homosexuals for being homosexuals, and that would, you know, of course, support honor killings and stuff like that, and that, of course, would, of course, you know, support terrorism against Israel and America, and that would carry out terrorism against Israel and America. I mean, the left supports creating another Muslim terrorist country like that. All the while, if you're a Christian and you say, I don't support gay marriage, the left will demonize you as a homophobe. And if you're a baker who doesn't want to carry a same-sex wedding, the left is going to try to destroy your career, bring lawsuits against you, try to throw you in jail and stuff like that. All the while, the left wants to create another country in the Muslim world where homosexuals really will be killed for being homosexuals, you know, called Palestine. And that's what we have. We have from the left these contradictions like Justin Trudeau, the feminists who think sonic things are not barbaric. And they want to create another, and you know, and Israel is also the only country in the region where women have equal rights, and where women are actually treated as human beings. I mean, you see in these Muslim countries where rape victims get killed in honor killings because she brings shame even though she was raped. I mean, in Israel, for instance, a former Jewish president, Moshe Katsav, was, you know, charged with rape and sexual harassment and was being inappropriate with women. And a female Arab judge and a female Arab Supreme Court justice was among those who sent Moshe Katsav to jail for being inappropriate with women. You know, Moshe Katsav, a former Jewish president, Moshe Katsav, an Iranian Jew, who was sent to jail for rape and sexual harassment. One of the justices who sent Moshe Katsav to jail was, you know, a female Arab justice. I mean, just wanted to throw that fact out there. So Israel's the only country, and I mean, in contrast to the Muslim countries where women are treated as worse than cattle, Israel's the only country where men and women have equal rights. And the left wants to create another misogynist Arab Muslim terrorist country within Israel's borders that would be a threat to Israel's existence. And that would, you know, be a base for terrorists to continue their war against Israel. And so the pro-women, the pro-homosexual left wants to create a misogynist, homophobic, terrorist country within Israel, in addition to the misogynist, homophobic, terrorist, Muslim Arab countries that already surround Israel. I know it may be a lot to take in because of the stupidity. It really boggles your mind and stuff like that. But I want to get onto the topic of the show and discuss Iran threatening to destroy Israel in 8 minutes. And I'll get it up there. But yeah, so I wanted to discuss that aspect as well. Okay, I'm trying to get this I'm trying to get the page up, so bear with me. We'll be right back with a funny gay marriage argument. This is a gay marriage argument, and this is a funny. So we'll be right back with this hilarious argument on gay marriage. And bear in mind, this argument is a bit outdated, specifically when the conservative says, you know, Obama is opposed to gay marriage. And we know, as of now, Obama came out in support of gay marriage. Obama celebrated the Supreme Court's outrageous decision by coloring the White House with the rainbow colors, which is the symbol of the gay flag, to show solidarity with it. You know, all the while, of course, he's giving billions of dollars to the homophobic Nazi government of Iran that hangs homosexuals for being homosexuals. But anyway, this argument's a bit outdated. You know what happened, but I don't know, but let's take a listen.
Hi, I support gay marriage.
Oh no, why?
Because marrying whoever you want to is a civil right.
If changing the definition of marriage is a civil right, does it mean conservatives would have a right to change it back?
No. The civil right is powered by emotions.
How so?
If two people love each other, then they are allowed to change the definition of marriage to accommodate it.
If two gay people hated each other, would they be able to outlaw gay marriage?
No. I meant the civil right is powered by love. And you cannot just make laws based on traditional morality.
So if polygamists love each other, they can marry more than one person?
No. That's against traditional morality.
But you just said.
I know what I just said. Polygamy is totally different.
How so?
It's an abomination.
Is the difference because polygamists are not important to the Democratic Party, and gays are?
That's just a coincidence.
What if polygamists became one of the Democratic Party's loyal interest groups?
The Constitution is always evolving. If that happened, we might revisit the issue.
I had a feeling you might.
Gay marriage has to be legal because it is a private matter between two people.
Okay. I'll stop right here because I just wanted to. It was just sort of a placeholder while I was getting this article up. Post this online, okay? Now this is a. Let me see if it's gonna. Okay, let's. Now I can. Okay, now this is. Okay, now the article is in. Iranian commander warns regime could destroy Israel in 8 minutes. The article was published on yesterday at 11:28 a.m. It's by Jack Moore. Now, the article reports, quote, an Iranian military advisor has said that Iran could wipe out Israel in less than 8 minutes if the order was given by Supreme Leader Ayatollah Ali Khamenei. If the Supreme Leader's orders are to be executed with the abilities and the equipment at our disposal, we will raise the Zionist regime in less than 8 minutes, Ahmed Karimpour, senior advisor to the Iranian Revolutionary Guard Corps, Elite Quds Force said Thursday, according to the semi-official Fars news agency. The comments came after the test fire of a ballistic missile 2 weeks ago that had the potential to reach Israeli territory. We test fired a missile with a range of 2,000 kilometers and a margin of error of 8 meters. Brigadier General Ali Abdullah told a Tehran science conference the Times of Israel reported. In March, Tehran fired two ballistic missiles, the Qatar H model, that carried the message Israel must be wiped out in Hebrew into the Sea of Oman as U.S. Vice President Joe Biden visited Israel on the same day. Khamenei has frequently said that Israel should be destroyed. He warned in September 2015 that Israel will not exist as a country in 25 years. I'm saying to Israel that they won't live to see the end of these 25 years, he said. With Allah's help, there'll be no such thing as a Zionist regime in 25 years. In November 2014, Khamenei said that Israel has no cure but to be annihilated, using frictions at the Jerusalem holy site, sacred to both Jews and Muslims, as a reason for the destruction of the Israeli state. Iranian nuclear deal since July 2015 with six world powers caused a mixed reaction in Israel, with the government believing that Iran will still retain the capability for its missiles to reach its territory and threaten its security, unquote. Okay, so they just heard that this Iranian commander, the terrorist IRGC, Good Force, has stated that Iran will be able to destroy Israel in less than 8 minutes, and all they're waiting for is the orders by the Iranian Supreme Leader, Ayatollah Ali Khamenei, to give that order to commit a second Holocaust on the Jewish people in Israel. I mean, there's no question that the government of Iran, as I said, is a Nazi government bent on world conquest for its form of Islam. And, bear in mind that if people say, oh, this is just Israel's problem and it's irrelevant to the U.S., it is relevant to the U.S. because, A, Iran merely considers Israel to be the small Satan and America to be the great Satan. B, after the Iranians are finished destroying Israel, they will come to destroy America, and they will come to destroy Europe, and they will come to destroy Western civilization, although Western civilization is destroying itself with excessive political correctness. But Iran, with its nuclear weapons, will just, finish off that job in the military field. I mean, we're destroying the West through the cult. I mean, the West is destroying itself culturally, because the left is fighting the propaganda war. The Iranians and radical Islam are fighting the military war. I mean, that's the thing. And the problem, I think, as I said, is I think at least... and the problem, I think, is that, at least radical Muslims, even though like the Iranian regime and radical Muslims, even though what they believe is evil, they at least believe in what they believe. They at least believe that they're sent by God to do what they're doing. Whereas, as I said, in Israel, America, and the West, that belief is, to say the least, fading. I mean, in America and the West, we have political correctness. The big issues we're worried about is really, forcing religious people to allow, people who identify as, their gender, what they are, to go into the bathroom of their gender to identify as, and stuff like that, and we are focused on, in imposing this perverted, morally depraved agenda down, the throats of elementary school children, in public schools, and of course, I think even in private schools, because the government wants to force private businesses to comply with this. And now we see, North Carolina is, of course, heroically standing up to this. And now we see that the Obama administration has issued a lawsuit against North Carolina for standing up to its totalitarian progressive fascism. These are the big issues. This plus microaggressions and trigger warnings. I mean, if we're raising up people, I'm a young person and stuff like that. People from my generation are, a disproportionate amount of people from my generation are like this. So we're raising up people from my generation to be, such wusses. Many people from my generation are so afraid of microaggressions. If we can't even face microaggressions, how can we face the real genuine aggressions of ISIS? How can we face the real genuine aggression of Iran or of radical Islam if we can't even face microaggressions? I mean, seriously. Another serious point I want to say. I mean, here we have, for instance, you see, Iran earlier has fired up two missiles saying Israel must be wiped off the map, and Iranian IRGC military commander is saying as soon as we get the orders from the Supreme Leader, we're going to wipe Israel off in less than 8 minutes. Ali Khamenei, the Supreme Leader of Iran, saying that Israel will not last 25 years and stuff like that. And all the while we see this the disgraceful Obama administration, while condemning Israel over a bathroom being built for Jews in Yehuda Veshomron, i.e. the so-called West Bank of the eastern half of Jerusalem. Obama is also giving Iran billions of dollars as part of this horrible deal. All the while, Iran continues to threaten destruction all the while Iran continues to with promoting the death to Israel, death to American demonstrations, all the while Iran continues saying Israel is going to be wiped off the map, and the military commander saying Israel will be wiped off in less than 8 minutes as soon as we get the orders from Ali Khamenei. I mean, Iran is just continuing with its terrorist aggression, with being a major sponsor of terrorism, and with its terrorist war against Islam and the world. Iran is continuing with this, even with this horrible deal, where all we see it's a one way street where we give the concessions and Iran gives nothing. I mean, at most we get a limited look at Iran's nuclear weapons program. And much of the Iranian nuclear weapons program will be self-inspected by the Iranian regime, which is a complete joke. It's like Hitler carried out self-inspection to the Nazi death camps. I mean, it's literally what it's like. I mean, at most we got a limited look at Iran's nuclear weapons program. We don't get much of a look. In return, Iran gets, you know, sanctions lifted, and Iran gets, as I said, billions of dollars. But leftists will get all technical and say, well, it's their money. Well, someone's got to kill you and stuff like that. And let's say that person had a gun to be able to come kill you. You'd want to make sure that person does not have access to his or her gun. Now, if you're to make a deal where that person, let's say that person still has to kill you, and you make a horrible deal where that person gets to her gun, I mean, and that person is going to kill you, you would not say, well, you know, it's technically that person's gun anyway. We're not giving that person a gun. It's technically that person's gun. To you, whose life would be threatened, it would be the same thing as if someone did give that person a gun. So, too, even if it's technically Iran's money, the fact that Iran has access to that money, it's still the same as if we gave Iran that money. So this technicality is nothing more than semantics, as I said. I mean, whether it's Iran getting access to their money or we literally give Iran more money, it's the same thing. Either or, Iran gets billions of dollars, which would obviously be used for supporting terrorism and for its terrorist nuclear weapons program. I mean, all the while Iran is testing out missiles to be able to, as I read the article, Iran is testing out missiles to be able to try to reach Israel. And Iran is publicly saying Israel is going to be wiped off the map. Israel's not going to exist in 25 years. As soon as we get the orders from the Supreme Leader, we'll wipe Israel out, is what the Iranian IRGC commander says. I mean, Iran literally is preparing for a nuclear attack against Israel. And yet we still see this horrible deal going on. And Obama compared opponents of this horrible deal to the so-called hardliners in the Iranian government. I mean, as I said, I mean, this idea that this deal is going to bring peace between the West and Iran is a fantasy. You cannot make peace with evil. It's just like we couldn't make peace with Nazism. We cannot make peace with radical Islam. It can't be done. It can't be done. I mean, maybe I'm being a bit redundant in what I say, but you know, I mean, but as I said, you know, this deal is giving Iran billions of dollars that would be used for terrorism, that would be used for a nuclear weapons program. And this deal is resulting in sanctions against Iran being lifted. All the while, as I said, Iran is still testing out its ballistic missiles in order to prepare for its attack against Israel, you know, and the Iranian military commander is saying we can wipe Israel out in less than 8 minutes. I mean, this is truly a disgrace. But the problem, as I said, is, you know, I mean, too many people have their head in the sand. I mean, that's the problem. We see radical Islam is quite public with its goals, you know. You know, I mean, they murder thousands of people. And we see that the Iranian government is one of the most Nazi-like governments in the world. I think Iran is the number one Nazi state in the world, except it's Muslim instead of Aryan. That's the only difference. And yet we see that people just have their head in the sand. And people just want to blame everything with the radical Muslims. And people want to blame Israel and stuff like that. I mean, the truth of the matter is, you know, since day one, Israel was merely defending itself. Israel is surrounded by Arab and Muslim countries that want her destruction, period. Period. We see how, like, Israel has constantly been bullied to commit suicide by creating a terrorist state within Israel's borders. You know, and Israel tries starting the process through Oslo, complete failure, and, you know, and stuff like that. There was an increase in terrorism from 1995 to 1996, when 90% of the Palestinian people, Yarish, I should say, were under Palestinian Authority rule. Israel left Gaza in 2005, rocket attack in Gaza was increased, and Gaza turned to a terrorist space. Anytime Israel starts creating a Palestinian terrorist entity or a Palestinian entity, the entity automatically becomes a terrorist entity. There will never be a peaceful Palestinian state with existing next to Israel. You can't make peace. I mean, the idea of Palestinian people is really stop and destroy Israel. You can't make peace with people wanting your destruction. So, like, you can't make peace with the current government of Iran. The only way to have peace with Iran is the terrorist regime change. You cannot make peace with radical Islam because radical Muslims believe it's their duty from Allah to go and impose their version of Islam on the world. And, of course, their version of Islam is antithetical to Western values like freedom of speech, freedom of thought, and individual liberty. And it's antithetical to Western values like freedom of religion. And we see how radical Muslims, as I said, they commit tens of thousands of terrorist attacks and they use terrorist aggression to try to carry that out. You cannot make peace with radical Islam. Just like you cannot make peace with Nazism. And the father of radical Islam, the Muslim Brotherhood, collaborated with and was influenced by the Nazis. The father of the Palestinian terrorist movement, Amin al-Husseini, was a Nazi collaborator. He led two Bosnian Muslim SS divisions. He said on Berlin Radio, kill Jews wherever you find them. And he enthusiastically supported Hitler's genocide against the Jews, even goading Hitler to build extermination camps for the Jews in quote-unquote Palestine. I mean, you cannot make peace. Israel cannot make peace with these people. That's the point. You can only make peace with people who want peace. People want to destroy you. They're just going to take advantage of any peace, of any kindness you do to them, of any peace you offer to them. And this is the same thing we see with the Syrian refugees, too. And on the one hand, yes, they are. On the one hand, yes, there are people who are legitimately from Syria, who are legitimately refugees, who are fleeing the civil war and stuff like that. But the only problem is that, you know, is that these ISIS terrorists who want to come at us to kill us, and they're willing to take advantage of anything to come and kill us, even of our kindness. I mean, these ISIS terrorists are smuggling themselves among the refugees, trying to come to Europe, and they come to America in order to, attack us and kill us. And, I mean, that's the problem. You see, among these refugees are ISIS terrorists who want to attack us and kill us, and they will use anything to come at us. And, you know, it's, you know, very hard to vet these refugees because many of these ISIS people come in with forged documents. They'll portray themselves as these helpless refugees when in reality they're terrorists. And they'll try to tell who is or is not a terrorist. And, you know, when Republicans express concern about this, we see that our partisan narcissist president, Barack Obama, says, oh, it's the GOP being afraid of three-year-old orphans. I want to try to make it as an issue of, oh, like, it's all about letting them in because they're not Christians. This has nothing to do with them being Christian or not. Nobody is seriously proposing to only allow Christians into this country. Finally, one person, I mean, finally, anybody who disagrees with me on that, anybody who wants to try to dispute me when I say that nobody's proposing that we only allow Christians in. Find me one person who is seriously coming out with a proposal to only let Christians in. And if you want to say that's a significant threat, find me a significant movement that's really, you know, influencing Congress or the government to only let Christians in. Nobody is really coming out with a movement that only wants to let Christians in. The issue is not whether these dear refugees have dark skin or light skin. The issue is not whether they're Christian, Muslim, or what religion they are. The issue is the fact that these ISIS, that these ISIS terrorists are smuggling themselves among the refugees to come to blow us up. And the issue is that we can't tell who is genuinely a refugee who wants a new life and who is, you know, a terrorist wanting to blow us up. That's the issue here. And Obama wants Obama, who is an apologist for, you know, the Muslim world, who wants to play partisan politics and stick it to the Republicans by falsely claiming, oh, the Republicans are afraid of three-year-old orphans. That's what these leftists want to do. You disagree with them, they call you a bigot. As I said, you know, I mean, even like, you know, in, under Yazid, you know, in, you know, I mean, I've been threatening to blow up New York after the Paris terrorist attack, which is a major bloodthirsty terrorist attack on my ISIS. ISIS then threatened, you know, to carry out an attack in Times Square. And you know how, like, you know, ISIS, and you know, a Muslim convert on behalf of ISIS, on New Year's Eve, tried to commit a terrorist attack on Times Square. You know, Times Square, where like millions of people gather for on New Year's Eve to celebrate the New Year. You know, ISIS terrorists, you know, a Muslim convert on behalf of ISIS tried to commit a brutal terrorist attack on Times Square. And Baruch Hashem, thank God that the police stopped this Muslim convert from carrying out his mass murder. And so that meant that millions of lives were thankfully saved. And that's, you know, the risk we're taking when we let in these Syrian refugees. You know, I mean, look, I mean, like anybody else, like any other decent person, I support letting in any refugee who is really seeking a new life. But the problem is, you know, it's hard to vet these refugees. It's hard to tell who is a refugee and who is a terrorist. And so, you know, I mean, even though I'm not a supporter of Trump, but I mean, Trump may have had sort of a point with, like, when he was saying, you know, I mean, as much as I don't like Trump, and I'm not going to praise Trump at all here. I was going to say he sort of had a point about, you know, like saying, like, as of now, you know, maybe we shouldn't, or, you know, like about, I mean, look, I don't agree with Trump when talking about taking Muslims in. I'm not saying that, but the thing is, he sort of had a point toward, like, you know, like, trying to figure out the situation. I mean, I'm not saying don't take in any Muslims. I mean, if we see like a group of Muslim immigrants coming in and we know that they're not terrorists and we know that they just seek a new life here in this country, I'd say, yeah, we should take them in, regardless of whether they're religious, secular, or anywhere in between, regardless of whether they pray to Mecca 5 times a day or not, regardless of whether they're observant any other way. The only thing we should check is whether they're terrorists or not, whether they hold the radical Islamic worldview or not. I mean, if they're, you know, religious about Muslims and they condemn radical Islam and they just seek a new life in this country, we should let them in. But the problem is when it comes hard to tell who is a terrorist and who is not a terrorist. And I think we should put the safety of this country before taking in refugees. I mean, I think, like, with the Syrian refugees, I mean, I think maybe we should look at the Muslim countries, you know, like, taking the Syrian refugees and stuff like that. You know, I mean, the problem... You know, I mean, the problem is it's hard to tell who the terrorist is, not a terrorist. But another problem with political correctness is, you know, how are we going to put ISIS or radicalism generally, if we're afraid of words? Like, you know, like people were, you know, condemning Ted Cruz when Ted Cruz said he wanted to carpet bomb ISIS Ted Cruz did not call for wiping out Muslims. Ted Cruz did not call for genocide. He did not call for killing everybody in the Middle East. Ted Cruz just said, let's cover bomb ISIS and let them, you know, like feel the dust or, you know, something like that, you know. Although Ted Cruz was saying it about ISIS. You know, we were more afraid of Ted Cruz's rhetoric than we were of, you know, ISIS terrorists. Rather than focusing our attention on how to stop ISIS, we were afraid of Ted Cruz's rhetoric. Oh, you know, his rhetoric's so violent, it's so violent. And, you know, also when I think Ted Cruz's point about, you know, like when he was running in the GOP, when Ted Cruz was one of the GOP nominees, and he also said, you know, in an area with more crime, we should police that area more. And so, too, like in an area with more radical Islamic activity, we should police that area more. Now, Ted Cruz is taken out of context for that. Anyone know what? And I agree with Ted Cruz. He was not saying, oh, put Muslims into camps. The only president who actually put Muslims into camp, not Muslims, the only president who actually put a whole group of people into camps was a Democrat, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, and he did that with the Japanese. And the president, and also like it was FDR, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, who was not taking in helpless refugees who were fleeing genocide. You know, when Jews were fleeing the Holocaust in World War II, seeking a new life, you know, FDR would not let them in. And the American Jewish establishment, of course, looked the other way because they, you know, supported FDR. They did not want to criticize FDR. Just like today, we see that, like, secular and non-Orthodox Jews particularly are overwhelmingly blindly support the Democrats and blindly support everything the Democrats support. And it gets conflated where, you know, oh, Judaism stands for loving values. No, it doesn't. There's a big, I mean, most Jews in America are not religious. I mean, there's a big gap between what Judaism stands for and what the secular and non-Orthodox Jews stand for in terms of and whatnot, you know? Even for any population, you don't judge what a religion stands for based on, like, what the secular people believe because the secular people are not influenced by their religion. No, as I said before, you know, when Ted Cruz made that comment about, you know, policing areas with more radical Islamic activity, he was not saying put Muslims in the camps or anything like that. What he said was, you know, really a common sense approach. You know, you police the areas more, that you police the areas with more crime, you police the areas with more terrorist activity. I mean, that's common sense. But the fact is, political correctness is at war with common sense. I'm going to finish this off by going back up a little bit. Political correctness is at war with common sense. Simply, you know, I support Ted Cruz. That's why Ted Cruz was taken out of context, because people are more afraid of words than we are with terrorists. We cannot fight ISIS or radical Islam if we're this afraid of sounds that come out of people's mouths. We're like so afraid of microaggressions. We're raising up wimps. We're raising up wimps. And this is why we see, you know, the West is declining, and we see that, like, you know, Israel is threatened, and we see that because people in Israel, in America, in the West, don't really truly believe in their cause anymore. Radical Muslims and ISIS do believe in their cause of evil, and that's the thing. And that's why we see, like, Iran is becoming a bigger threat by the moment, and ISIS is becoming a bigger threat by the moment, radical Islam is becoming a bigger threat by the moment. I just want to finish off with this, and we're out. God bless Israel, God bless America, God bless the free world.